it's not a small worry, and it depends on where you look. But my biggest concern at the moment is really in Eastern Africa, and also on the western side as well, because you see some ISIS affiliates, some groups that have pledged allegiance to ISIS. They have their own very independent, local concerns, but they have become quite powerful and quite aggressive. And we just saw in the last couple of weeks a very brazen attempt to take over, a city in Mozambique, a resort area, dozens of people killed. So these groups are gaining strength in Africa, certainly. And then back in the heartland, particularly in eastern Syria, these guys never really went away. They after the caliphate collapsed, we think tens of thousands of soldiers or fighters survived and simply melted back into villages, found hiding places, and they continue to carry out attacks at a fairly regular pace. You see, weekly attacks in Iraq and in Syria both, by a group that has patience. It's not necessarily going to come back with a caliphate next week, but it continues to kind of, keep its powder dry and look for opportunities. And in places where there are local grievances, where there's government failures, where there's sort of stateless vacuums, that's where these groups move in and start to reemerge. And I think there's that potential in Syria and Iraq, particularly in Syria in the east right now.
Do they have the resources to reconstitute in a place outside of the Middle East?
What we've seen with this group in Mozambique in particular is its ability to not just seize, but to retain power, at least temporarily. A few months ago, they seized another town and held it for months, and local security forces were not able to reclaim the town until really weeks and weeks of fighting and slowly regaining territory. So that speaks to the power and the staying power of these groups. And these are difficult areas for Americans to operate in. They're not, these are not easy governments for us to work with in some cases. They don't necessarily invite our help, or if we provide resources, they're not necessarily used in a proper way. So it's a tough predicament for the United States. I do think there is a commitment. I think this is a bipartisan thing. It's continuing through both administrations that we've just had. But it's a sense that if we aren't proactive, if we don't at least empower local forces and bring our intelligence and other technical assets to bear, some of these countries could be in real trouble, and we're going to end up with an Iraq situation or a Syria situation all over again. And I do think we're a bit overextended at the moment. We're preoccupied with COVID and rebuilding, the economy and all these other things. But these problems on the periphery in places like Mozambique can't be allowed to fester, because if they do, we could have a much bigger situation in the future. And you can see terrorist groups beginning to again export their ideology and perhaps terrorist weapons and operatives to our country. It's happened before.
And this is a part of the reason why talking to you is so important. This book, your reporting has always been a reliable continuum of what's taking place, connecting us to the past, today, and the future. And with this activity taking place in that part of Africa, and certainly ISIS, as you mentioned, held on to quite a bit of the money that it had, and continued with, as you mentioned as well, some of those people that just never went away. They just sort of melted into those cities, starting now to coalesce again. And this situation in Syria is continuing. So is there going to be, will there be another ISIS central, or will there be most likely a decentralized movement?
I think that, it's interesting, and I know you see this chatter as I do, JJ, where you hear the jihadists talking about these things in their chat rooms, and there are groups that take that information and translate it and make it available so you can see what they're saying. And there's a sense that ISIS, the caliphate, overreached, and that in trying to control territory, it managed to be able to gain certain things, but it also made itself a more obvious target. So if you have real estate, you have an address, lots of big planes could come after you. So you might, I think, see a more sophisticated and kind of a hybrid approach where there's de facto control over certain areas, where they can do as they will, take over towns during the night and then maybe slink away during the day, but have local populations under their control and build a base. And I think that's the model we're seeing play out in Africa. And it may be that what we see elsewhere, that remains dangerous because, as we know, Al-Qaeda never tried to build a state. I mean, it took advantage of you know, a host, the Taliban in Afghanistan, and were allowed to do what they pleased, but they didn't try to take over territory. So you don't necessarily have to have a caliphate to be quite dangerous and to be an international threat. And that, I'm afraid we're moving to something like that now.
Joby Warrick, author of Redline, The Unraveling of Syria and America's Race to Destroy the Most Dangerous Arsenal in the World. J.J. Green, WTOP News.